Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak something on this very difficult day. Difficult because there's a paradox. Prabhupada has left us and he has not left us. I very much appreciate it. Jayabeta Maharaj telling us that we can have contact with Srila Prabhupada, although he has left us in a physical sense, by following his Vani. And he very nicely said that following Prabhupada's Vani entails two things. We have to very, very strictly follow the formula, so to say. But then he also pointed out that we do need to go into the depths. And he brought these two things together with the following the Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavat Vidhi. The Pancharatrika Vidhi being more formula-oriented and the Bhagavat Vidhi being more feeling-oriented. Today I would also like to attempt to speak a little bit further on this same subject matter. For a disciple and a grand disciple, it is certainly very important to somehow think of his connection with Srila Prabhupada. I'm not so good in mathematical calculation, but his disappearance is now how many years back, please? 29 years back. That's a long time. And we have to now ask ourselves, how can we be in a relationship with Srila Prabhupada? Not just in a philosophical understood way, just throw simply the word Vani out, and but we have to see how do I respond in this relationship to Srila Prabhupada. How do I act in this relationship to Srila Prabhupada? There is a law about transcendental relationships which Lord Krishna talks about in the Gita. Ye yatamang papatyante tangs tathaiva bhajam yaham. It's a principle which Srila Prabhupada talks about, which Lord Krishna talks about. Relationships have to do a lot with the degree of presence. How present am I in the relationship? How much do I put into the relationship? How much surrender do I bring onto the table of this relationship? Where is my contribution, in other words, to this relationship? That is a very important principle. And in the degree of this contribution, or this being present, the personality with whom we have a relationship, either it's God or it's the devotee of God, they will reveal themselves accordingly. If you don't mind me going on this day a little bit into the psychology of relationship, I will tell you something which struck me the last months very much. In a relationship, there is something like a two-way street of communication. A personality in a relationship sends something out, either a message or some expectations or love. And then the person who enters into a relationship with that person who is, the sender here, the person who sends something in the direction, that person who wants to have a relationship with this person needs to now send something back. Love, service, questionings, asking questions. And only when this circle is completed, that means something comes from the sender, and the receiver now has to complete the circle and send something back to the sender, then we can speak of a vibrant relationship, a relationship where something goes on. It's almost like an electrical circuit. When it's cut somewhere, it doesn't shake with electricity. It's not vibrant. So, in the same way, if we want to speak of a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, we need to understand and receive what he sends, his instructions, his message, his love for the conditioned soul. And now we need to respond to that, to make the circle complete. A relationship breaks down when this responsive element is absent. A relationship prospers and blossoms when the response becomes bigger and increases in degrees. The moment we think in a relationship that, oh, I once responded, now it's all clear, we have our relationship, there is what is called a communication breakdown, and from the communication breakdown, a relationship breakdown develops. So, as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada on this disappearance day, and also as a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I do have to ask myself, how much responsibility do I take in this relationship? And I'm using this word responsibility in a literal and in an expanded sense. Responsibility in a literal sense has come to mean taking duties and executing them. But in an expanded sense, the word responsibility speaks of an ability to respond. An ability which comes from a heart which is connected Srila Prabhupada. This is a question I asked myself on this disappearance day. It's not an easy question. It's a question which means a lot of soul searching. A question which means a lot, has a lot to do with surrender to Prabhupada's vision. A question which has a lot to do with giving up one's own perspective. So today, we are at the Holy Dham. For most of you, this is a common occasion. You are Dhamvasis, like our Keshava Bharati Maharaj, Gopi Parandana Prabhu, our Danuda Maharaj, and everyone is Jayaveda Maharaj is a is a visitor, but stays longer. And Bhagavat Ashraya Prabhu is also here with us for 6 weeks, I hear, or you're completing 6 weeks. So today, but for me, it is only a few days here with a jet lag in the brain. Today, I would like to talk a little bit on Prabhupada's instructions on staying in the Holy Dham. And I want to request my audience today to think about their responsibility, their ability to respond to Srila Prabhupada's solution. What should we do in the Dham? How should we approach being in the Dham? What does it mean to follow Prabhupada's Vani for me? I'm reading to you from a lecture given in Vrindavan on the 14th of March, where Prabhupada makes a couple of points of staying in the Dham, and you can now ask if you are responding to Prabhupada. Here we start. Real love is to love Krishna. That is the highest philosophy of life, the highest perfection of life. How to learn to love Krishna? Vrindavan means simply loving Krishna. The cowherd boys, the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mayi, Radharani, their only focus is to love Krishna. That's all. That is Vrindavan. Vrindavan does not mean a city or town. Vrindavan means where everyone is in love, in intense love with Krishna. Now you have come to Vrindavan. Try to learn how to intensely... We hear Prabhupada almost coming out of the typed paper. How intensely love Krishna. That is perfection of life. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. Now Prabhupada makes a Dham Tattva point. It's a little difficult, but we will be able to understand. So Vrindavan Dham is Aprakata Dham. Those who are attached to Vishaya, sense gratification, they cannot see what is Vrindavan. They cannot understand what is Krishna and Radha. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Vishaya chodiya kabe shudabe mana kabe amairava shivrindavana. Vishaya chodiya means one who detests this material enjoyment. Such people can see what is Vrindavan. Those who are attached to material enjoyment, they cannot see what is Vrindavan. This is the process. Srila Prabhupada continues, he will say that we have to understand Krishna carefully by trying to understand him through studying the nine cantos. He says, if he tries to understand Krishna from the tenth canto only, he will think Krishna is like us, a young boy, and he's after so many young girls, so let us imitate. No, that is not understanding Krishna. Krishna must be understood, and then if you follow the footsteps of the acharyas, you will be able to understand what are the loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani. Don't try to understand all of a sudden. Now Prabhupada enters into an area where sometimes those who are his Shiksha disciples, that means the younger devotees, they are rebelling. So let us now see about this one point. Prabhupada will now go very, very careful. After he has talked about developing love for Krishna, he makes this caution. Don't be an emotional turbo man or woman who is bringing himself or herself into an imaginative relationship. Don't try to understand all of a sudden. Don't see he is a boy and a girl making their loving affairs. Then you will fall down. So this is my request. You have come to Vrindavan. Try to understand what is Vrindavan Dham. What is Radha Krishna? But very cautiously, very carefully, then Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna himself, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Chaitanya, is present here. Go through him. In this way, gradually, you will be able to understand. Some way or other, if you can understand Krishna and Vrindavan are non-different. They are one. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. As Krishna is worshipable, his Dham is also worshipable. We should not commit any offense in the Dham, and we should follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we'll be favored by the grace of Krishna to understand him and his pastimes with Radharani. So Prabhupada has cautioned us to approach Krishna through the nine cantos of the Bhagavatam and mostly through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who will be able to help us by empowering us with the as dead hearts. Oh, dead, unresponsible hearts, not able to respond. Mahaprabhu will put something in the heart if you follow his perspective. I would like to finish with another instruction of Srila Prabhupada. As Brajendra Nandana Krishna is worshipable, his Dham Sri Vrindavan is also worshipable. We should very much respect Vrindavan Dham. Otherwise, we will be offenders. Dham Aparad. So, Vrindavan Dham must be very much respected. The dust, the Dham Vasis, great respect is necessary. One devotee, I do not know whom it was told to me, once told that when he felt he had a serious crisis for 15 years or so, because he was disrespectful to a rickshaw driver who had done what most rickshaw drivers do. An agreement of a price is there, and afterwards they want to have more. So this devotee lost temper, punched the rickshaw driver in the face, and the rickshaw driver got up, looked at him, and walked away. This devotee wanted to understood immediately, now the Dham, this was an apparat against the Dham person. And he gave him, offered him money and then maybe extra money also, but the rickshaw driver wouldn't accept anything. He wanted, he didn't want to give forgiveness. He wanted the apparat to take effect now on this poor devotee. So the devotee for 15 years was in a crisis because of that disrespect. We should very much respect Vrindavan Dham. Otherwise we will be offenders. Dham aparat. Remaining in Vrindavan, we should know that we live with Krishna. How much should we be cautious if we actually understand the Dham? The Dham is also Krishna. If you live in Vrindavan cautiously, carefully, without committing offense or sin, then in this life you are going to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Brajati gachati iti braja. So this Krishna, this is something on this subject. Much, much more has to be said and will be said by more expert speakers. Let me summarize. I wanted to take Jayadvaita Maharaj very, very nice lead and follow his very good line of thought by speaking about responsibility to Prabhupada, that is the ability to contribute into this relationship. Then Prabhupada will reveal himself more and more, and we will see the guidance of Srila Prabhupada in everything. Here, in terms of staying in the Dham, we heard that some instructions. If we are blocked with sense gratification, we can't see the Dham. If we need to understand Krishna cautiously, as he has revealed himself in the Bhagavatam, we need to at the same time not lose our goal out of life, out of mind, that is to develop love for Krishna. And this can be very much easily done in the Holy Dham. We need to be very respectful to even the little dust of Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Nama Shreshtam Manumapi Satsiputram Atra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Uruparim Matara Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto yasya patita kripaya tam namosti. Is that Raghunath Das Goswami? I believe. The gifts of the spiritual master. Nama Shreshtam. And the best thing? The holy name. Did anybody have a problem hearing me? I'll speak louder. Okay. If you want. I just... Sometimes I move forward, I'm afraid I'll break my teeth. So, Nama Shreshtam, the best thing is the holy name. I think I'm going to follow the garland of thoughts from Jayadvaita Swami and Sachinanda Maharaj. And Sachinanda Maharaj talked about, that's beautiful, this two-way street, and how the spiritual master is giving us so much, and we have to respond. And because it's relationship, as we respond, then also the spiritual master reciprocates with us. And Sachinanda Maharaj, representing the teaching of Srila Prabhupada on this very important day, because we're living here in Vrindavan, wanted to, on this very holy day, bring Srila Prabhupada into our presence by instructing us so we can actually appreciate Prabhupada's... You know, it's a very subtle way. It's philosophically, we're making the point that he's still here by his instructions, but Sachinandana Swami, in a very subtle way, was actually demonstrating it because Prabhupada appeared to us. He knew what we all needed to hear, and therefore he appeared through his devotee with his instructions for us. So we're very, very fortunate that Prabhupada appeared here in his vani, reciprocating our service. We're here serving in the Dham, so he felt inspired to send his devotee to give us instructions. But I wanted to talk about that reciprocation in another way. And it came to me actually this morning when I was actually giving a class on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and I was speaking on the fourth verse, which is the glorification of Mathura. And the first paragraph, it struck me, it said that Sri Krishna has affection for Mathura because it is adorned with the places of the Lord's pastimes. So there it's reciprocal. Affection means Krishna's responding to what? To the service of Mathura. It's adorned with the places for his pastimes. But then the next line even struck me even more. And the next line said, therefore, if we want to seek perfection, we should go to Mathura. So why? Because what's affection? Affection, and I heard this actually from Bhakti Tru Swami when he was teaching the Vaishnav etiquette course. He said respect goes upwards and affection goes down. And also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's the flavor of love that a superior or one who is in a parental relationship feels. Affection, anugraha. The affection is mercy. So I immediately thought of Srila Prabhupada. That if we want perfection, we go to Srila Prabhupada. And why? Because he has a relationship with Krishna. And he's pleased Krishna. And Krishna's reciprocated with affection, with mercy. And then for the last line, and therefore we should praise Mathura, we should serve Mathura, and therefore we can get that. So I thought in the same way, that as Mathura is adorned with places of the Lord's pastimes that attracts the affection and mercy of Krishna, and therefore becomes a receptacle of that mercy, and therefore becomes the place you approach for perfection. I thought in the same way that Srila Prabhupada is adorned with so many activities and words and thoughts that he's actually pleased Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is very affectionate to Prabhupada.
And Prabhupada has the mercy of Krishna. And therefore, if we want the mercy of Krishna, we have to go to Srila Prabhupada to get it. So I thought in that regard, when I was thinking of this, and I actually, fortunately, I got to speak this morning on it, so I'm, what I messed up this morning, I can make a little bit better. So then I thought in my mind, why not look at Srila Prabhupada as a source of pleasure for Krishna, and therefore drawing Krishna's affection and mercy. And then I thought we can even have like a little bit short meditation. And in that meditation, we can not only see Srila Prabhupada's activities, but we can see Krishna smiling or feeling affection and pouring down mercy on Prabhupada. So I just thought of just some instances as one, think of Srila Prabhupada when the Jaladuta came to America. And Srila Prabhupada is expressing this intense desire to spread Krishna consciousness. And then he's looking at the opposition and feeling like very humble. How can I accomplish this mission? And then he begins to quote the Bhagavatam. He expresses his faith in the Bhagavatam and he quotes those verses which Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kir, the whole process, how devotional service works, and his faith in devotion. And then expresses his own heart that I'm just a beggar. And then in pleading with Krishna, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. Imagine the affection Krishna is feeling as he's watching this. And the amount of mercy that pours down within Srila Prabhupada. The next image I had, and we can all pick our own images. Prabhupada under the tree in Tompkins Square Park, sitting there. Or if you like, the Kirtan in Golden Gate Park. But Prabhupada's sitting under that tree, preaching to the, right? And we all even know it's eternal in our mind, even all the non-devotees in that picture. Who are they? The old Ukrainian lady, what's it called? The babushka? What is it called? Some of the East Europeans know better. But anyway, and you know, the young boy that's there, you know, the different people that are looking at his devotees, and spreading and giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Can you imagine how much affection Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is having for Prabhupada? And how the mercy is just flowing? How the mercy is just flowing? And then I think the significant times that I met Srila Prabhupada in my own life, the first time, Prabhupada was arriving at the airport. I was not a member of ISKCON, what's the name? But anyway, I was in the airport. I was visiting. Oh, I heard Prabhupada was coming. I had not yet joined yet. And Prabhupada was coming in the airport, and the devotees were waiting. I remember this. And I remember it was very organized. Baba Ananda was the president. Very organized. He was even telling the devotees, you'll like this, Jayadwaita Marge, the tune of Hare Krishna to chant. He said we should chant very reverentially. He said like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Jai Prabhupada. Then you have the people chant. And see, and then Prabhupada came down, you know, with all, and it's as Prabhupada said, these beautiful young American boys and girls. And he came down, and I remember that Prabhupada, I remember this, he kind of greeted everyone. I was saying, I was already reading the books. I thought 26 qualities of pure devotee, that must be offenseless, because he was like greeting. And then Krishna's watching this, deriving so much affection and pouring mercy. And then the next day in the New York Daily News, which at that time was the largest circulating newspaper in the world, 5 million copies a day. Their favorite, they're famous for its centerfold, and the whole centerfold was Prabhupada. And they had that picture of Prabhupada as a the aristocrat, and right across two pages it said, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stota Sata CC Modest, and then it said, what a trip. And then it had a picture of the devotees. And then it had a picture of the devotees with Prabhupada around him. And there's a song about a river in America called, the river's called Swanee. It's a famous river, and someone had a lot of affection for the river, and they made a song, Swanee, Swanee, how they love you, how they love you. So it had like this. It said, Swami, Swami, how they love you, how they love you. The whole centerfold. So how much Krishna must have been pleased. And then I did not join for quite a while after that. But just before I joined, I went to the San Francisco Rath Yatra. The first time I saw Keshava Bharti was in the San Francisco temple. Now I have a mustache. I was just visiting again. And Prabhupada was about to come down from the stairs. And before he comes down for the stairs, Keshava Bharti comes down and he makes the announcement. His divine grace will soon come. It was like so dramatic. It was wonderful. And then Prabhupada came down. And then you'll remember this, Keshava, because the picture's in your room. And then we're sitting there. And then we go to the Rath Yatra Festival in Golden Gate Park. And when we go to the Rath Yatra Festival in Golden Gate Park, at the end of the Rath Yatra, the Rath Yatra cart with Prabhupada on it ends in on the stage. Then Prabhupada gets on the stage, and then there's this kirtan. And Prabhupada, with his white sweater and red garland, raises his hand. I don't know if you translate this in other English, in other languages, but in English we say, and then the crowd went wild. And the crowd was like dancing. And so many people, the way they were distributing prasadam then, Keshava Bharti said, everyone raised their hands. Everyone raised their hand. And the prasadam distribution was unlimited, so expertly done. There were just garbage cans that were clean, thousands of them with glove jubbins, I remember. They were distributing. And then Prabhupada gave this lecture because it was San Francisco. It was 1972. And it was the time of liberation, black liberation, this liberation, that liberation, this liberation. And Prabhupada looked at the crowd, and the speakers were reverberating from the trees. In that, so it had an effect. And Prabhupada looked at the audience and said, because there were so many movements for so many types of people, Prabhupada looked at the audience and said, this is the movement for the living entity. And like, I was just in the audience like, wow, that was great. So imagine the pleasure in this relationship. How much Prabhupada is giving to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do what he had to do. And how much mercy is flowing down. to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srila Prabhupada. How much mercy. Of course, you can go on and on, but I won't tell the whole story, but another incident is at the very end, where Prabhupada was very, very ill, couldn't eat, and he couldn't eat. He couldn't even tolerate kartals bigger than this size. It would cause him pain. What? Even stop those. So what happened was such an amazing phenomena. I was in Vrindavan at the time, and then we hear that Srila Prabhupada, it was on the disappearance day of Rupa Goswami at midnight. Prabhupada comes to go out to preach again. And there was no samadhi, so the car was right in the front. So imagine, as you were mentioning, Satchinanda, the things, the sacrifice, the devotion, you know, all these things. How much is coming? How much is coming? And then, of course, I was there when he came back. And it was such a sight. He came back by train from Bombay. He went to the West. And when he came back, this is one of the most incredible sights. You ever see that picture of Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arms? There's a fan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so big and Haridas Thakur is so small. Prabhupada walked in the side gate, but not walked in, came in the side gate by his room, like that, in the hands of Brahmananda. And then Prabhupada, I was there, and Prabhupada, with his hands so humbly, he just looked, and he quoted King Kulashekar, Krishna Twadiya Padapankam. Panchara adyeva me manasa. Now let me go. You know, when the swan of my mind is encircled in the lotus of your feet, otherwise how will I remember you? So I think that Prabhupada is just a storehouse of mercy, and I think Satchinanda's point is really the main point. You want to achieve perfection, you want mercy, you have to respond. Prabhupada responded, and he has the mercy. Now, if we want that mercy, we have to respond. We have to respond with, there it said, with praise. And that's what we're doing today. We're humbling ourselves, trying to get Prabhupada's mercy on this very auspicious day. And I request, especially the senior devotees, if they can just, maybe they don't have time now, but if they could just give their, even in their mind, their favorite remembrances of Prabhupada. And put Krishna in the picture, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the picture, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta in the picture, how they must have been pleased with Prabhupada. And I just mentioned one other thing too, and I'm sure that, you know, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how Prabhupada must have been pleased, and the books that are being produced here. And I think also I have a little association, how Prabhupada must be pleased with the school that's developing here and the devotees that are doing it. And so mercy is coming there. We can also get mercy from these devotees who have pleased Prabhupada. Now they've become the receptacles of mercy, so we should approach them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. So you may have noticed that we're living in the age of quarrel. You may have seen some of the symptoms. We're living in the midst of it. We grow up in it. We don't know anything else but a world full of disagreement and strife. Yudhishthira Maharaj was present at the initiation of the Kali Yuga 5,000 years ago. He saw the first hints just after Krishna's disappearance from this world. In his words, he described, actually no, it's Sudha Goswami describing what he saw. Jihma prayam vyavaridam shatya mishram chuk sauridam pitri bratri surin mitra dampatinam chakolkanam. Vyavaritam, day-to-day dealings between people. Human beings have to live with each other. They have to, just to get the food to eat, you have to go to the market and make an arrangement to pay money and take the vegetables. We have to work with each other on different levels. That's vyavahara or vyavaritam. Just ordinary dealings. Priam, practically all it is backbiting, fault-finding. Jikma is an unusual word in Sanskrit. It's not used much. It means to stab somebody in the back, to find fault not to their face and tell them, but to criticize them behind their back. And that's all that people do in Kali Yuga with one another. And among those whom we supposedly have special relationships, family, friends, shatramishram cha sauridam, this so-called friendship in this modern age, is mixed with cheating, deception. Instead of friends helping one another, supporting one another, we're simply exploiting one another for our selfish, neurotic purposes. Pitri, bratri, parents. With our parents, we have no gratitude for our parents. We don't obey them. Our brothers, our sisters, we simply quarrel with them, compete with them. Who will get everything? Who will get the property? Surin, your so-called well-wishing friends, don't really wish for your welfare. They wish that you become as degraded as they. And dampatinam, husband and wife, children. Even a small family can't live together peacefully under the same roof. This is the condition of the world that we were born into this. We don't know anything else. It's a difficult, in such a terrible environment, to practice Krishna consciousness. When you cannot trust anybody, when you cannot expect anyone to be straightforward in their dealings, it's very hard to find the spiritual path and be able to feel supported and comfortable to take the troubles. Krishna consciousness involves tapasya, difficulty, that we have to give up our lower nature in order to revive our higher nature. We have to give up bad habits, things that we think we like and we need. We have to give them up. That is what was called tapasya, taking trouble for a higher purpose. That is difficult enough in itself. In a good environment, what to speak of an environment of lack of support. We look out on the world and it looks like a vast ocean of indifference, spotted with islands of hostility. Yeah. That's all we see around us in this age. So, it's especially difficult, it's supposed to be particularly difficult to practice in the holy dham. This is Tapo Bhumi, a place for austerities. And the weather is supposed to be bad. The conditions are supposed to be difficult for our purification. There are diseases, there's discomforts, there's lack of infrastructure, problem to get electricity and water, but it's supposed to be like that. That is the nature of the Tapobhumi, place where you have to undertake trouble, undergo austerities, for the purpose of purification. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyed. We should use this human life to take trouble, to accept tapo, transcendental, progressive trouble, by which our life becomes, our consciousness and our existence becomes purified. Yasma brahma sokyam dvanantam. Because by accepting the trouble, by becoming purified of our contamination, we can then become fit to enjoy eternal transcendental happiness. But because this is Kali Yuga, there's difficulty not just in the Holy Dham, but everywhere. Even where there's 24-hour day electricity and water. Even where you can go to the supermarket and the shopping center and get whatever you want. Still, it's difficult just to live in an environment of hostility. So, trying to practice Krishna consciousness in ISKCON involves a great special tapas, austerity. That terrible austerity is that we have to tolerate living with one another. Now, we have to somehow work together, despite the backbiting, the selfishness, the hostility, and the indifference, negligence. We have to go on. I did want to talk about Srila Prabhupada, bring him into the picture, because he also, by Krishna's request, came into this world and took birth on this planet in Calcutta, which is not one of the most idyllic cities in the world, even 100 years ago. It's not heaven on earth. I don't think anybody has described Calcutta as heaven on earth. He took birth on Krishna's request in the Kali Yuga. The same Kali Yuga that we're suffering from. Prabhupada voluntarily agreed on Krishna's request to come here. I don't know the source and the authenticity of this, but somebody says that Prabhupada said that Krishna asked him to come to this world, and at first Prabhupada didn't want to. Okay, so it comes from an authentic source. And as if, I don't know if I get it all right. Krishna told Prabhupada, don't worry, I'll arrange things that you won't be uncomfortable. So finally Krishna talked Prabhupada into descending into Kali Yuga with some inducement. He did it voluntarily. And don't think that he didn't also experience what it's like to be in the age of quarrel. I don't think anybody here saw Prabhupada before he started ISKCON. None of us did. Some of us did see Prabhupada while he was establishing ISKCON. And we saw, even in front of our eyes, we saw people insulting Prabhupada, disregarding him. What to speak then of before he became the recognized acharya? Before everybody had to see and admit how empowered he was. In his earlier years, you can imagine how people treated him improperly. And what did he do? He tolerated it. He had his mission to carry out, and he spent his life preparing for it, and was successful. Amanina mana dena kirtani yaksada harihi. This is the formula given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for being able to continue chanting Hare Krishna despite all obstacles. And